You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national. We cover down on all the issues, and like the dude just said, we are solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I am pleased to be on one of my favorite times of every week. On Wednesdays, we do a thing we call the Grand Council. Most of y'all have heard it before. We got three of us who all participate in talk radio in various parts of the state. We ping each other with questions. We don't know the questions in advance. We see how we do. We don't always agree, but we love each other nonetheless when it's over with. Today, FM Talk 106.5 down on the coast, also the executive editor for 1819 News, that would be Jeff Poor. Is you here?
I am present.
You are indeed. Thank you, my friend. All right, and then Dale Jackson could not be with us. He's our usual guy, but Tim Melton, the host of News and Views on Talk 99.5 down in the Birmingham area, is on with us right now. Tim Melton, are you here?
Yes, sir. Reporting for duty.
Outstanding. Well, I pronounce a quorum for the Grand Council, so Boomer, hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da! All right. All right, here we go. You know the deal, fellas. We ask questions and just go the rounds. So, Jeff Rowe, you take it first.
Today, a speaker, or soon-to-be speaker, Ledbetter, announced that he was retaining Mark Tuggle as his chief of staff. So I guess why is this important? Well, we were told, or maybe we were expecting a little bit of a change in the Alabama legislature in the lower chamber. Retaining the same chief of staff, new speaker, business as usual now is the question.
Huh. You know what? That's a question. I had him in my studio yesterday for about an hour and did not think to ask about support staff. I asked about a lot of other things, even offline, about chairmanships and things that are going to probably shift around. I don't see that as being a big deal. The speaker is going to get to make the decision. Now, the chief of staff will be in his ear, but I think what he's looking for there is continuity of operations and the ability to navigate the ins and outs of what it means to be a speaker from an administrative standpoint. So I'm not too concerned about that. What do you think there, Tim?
I think that this is something we definitely nerd out on, these little details, but I do wonder how much of the public that may be listening in right now, actually, how much impact they think this type of thing is going to have. But it is in the sauce, right? It is right there. These little minute details do matter when you start to piece together every single bit of the legislative process. But right now, I think too early to tell for the most part, but I do wonder how many people would click on this headline.
Wow. All right, Jeff, your own question. What do you think?
That was hurtful. That's the headline for 1819 News right now. No, I think it matters because of this. All you guys that want school choice and all you guys that want lottery or whatever, the reason it didn't happen is because the House of Representatives drug its feet. They let Wanda Gavan get up there and give filibusters. They let John Rogers get up there and give filibusters. And it was a way for the House leadership to run out the clock before going after anything at once. We were told, well wait till Ledbetter gets here. It's going to be a brand new day. It's going to be a new look at the legislature. And here we are. We get here today, and it's the same cast of characters. Why should we expect to think things are going to change?
Well, so let me ask you, but Jeff, what you're saying, though, you think that the chief of staff is the one that drives a train on floor votes and floor filibusters? I mean, what are you saying?
Well, based on the statement we got, I mean, the guy that knows how the process works, if the process that they were using these last 4 years of this quadrennium or what is valuable here by this chief of staff, which Ledbetter says in his statement, then I would just say that this is the same process we're going to see. So, look, Everybody's kind of looking for a new momentum, a change in the legislature, and a lot of the guys in the upper chamber in the Senate are really frowning downstairs at the House because the House is the one that has drug its feet and just played ball with the governor.
Yeah.
We're looking for something different, and I think the point is having this same chief of staff. It's the same old cast of characters.
And that may wind up being true. It's going to be interesting. I mean, I know Mark Tuggle. I mean, he's not a firebrand, but he's not a milquetoast. But I think a lot of the floor shenanigans and the things that were put up with beyond what they should have been was more along the lines of Mac McCutcheon being overly accommodating and also, like you said, working hand in glove with the governor's office. But we'll see, brother. We'll see. All right, next question. I'll take the next one. Let's do this. Randall Woodfin. I'm switching gears. I'm going municipal on you. So Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin, one of the most liberal mayors in the Southeast United States, perhaps in the nation, just today on Twitter, he calls for gun control within the cities, including Birmingham. He testified before Congress last week for legalization of marijuana. He made it harder to be a police officer by banning no-knock warrants. He's proud of his diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. He blanket pardoned over 15,000 drug offenses dating back to 1992. Is the guy running for something higher than being mayor of Birmingham, or is he just running Birmingham? Tim, you first.
I think he definitely is aspirational and could see himself being a bigger part of the Democratic Party. I know he made an appearance during the DNC, and that was something that he was very excited about during the last presidential election. So I definitely think he's aspirational. I think he's looking for his party to see him as somebody who could rise up the ranks there in terms of personality. But in terms of what he's doing for Birmingham right now, it really does feel like instead of bread and circuses, it's more bullets and circuses right now, because we're talking about infrastructure like Protective Stadium that's there. But last time I checked, there's not a huge demand right now to fill that place up based on the World Games falling on its face. And then you have an amphitheater being discussed when you have a lot of people who are already perfectly fine going to Oak Mountain to enjoy that there in Pelham. So a lot of let's build it and they will come, but the rest of the city around it is falling down to pieces with crime spiking through the roof. So that's a big worry.
Jeff, what do you think?
Can we go ahead and when does the Randall Woodfin bubble burst? What has he done? He's been in office it's almost 5 years now. I think we're 5 days from being 5 years. Are you better off now than you were 5 years ago, Birmingham? And I think no. I think he got a pass on the World Games. And it's like nothing happened. It was a disaster. It was not what it was sold to the public to be. I am tired of hearing about Randall Woodfin. What has he done? And, yeah, sure, everybody's aspirational. Everybody's measuring the curtains in the Oval Office at that stage. But this guy, there is nothing there. He showed a complete lack of understanding of the Second Amendment with his little Twitter rant today. I am just tired of this guy. I'm ready for this guy to either put up or shut up.
I gotta take issue there, Jeff. I mean, you're not paying attention to the fact that the Human Rights Campaign says that he raised their municipal equality score from 12 to a 100. I mean, that's a big deal.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's a big deal in the DEI world.
Oh, man, I really screwed that one up.
I know, brother. But we'll carry you through this. But, yeah, so the reality is I agree with both of you. I think Randall Woodfin is literally one of the most liberal. He's proud of being liberal, so it's not like he's not a believer. I'm saying I totally disagree with his policies, but he's also accomplishing nothing for the city except working for the infrastructure piece, but making it a place where you don't want to go down there and enjoy the infrastructure.
People are leaving. The city's worse off, Senator, than it's ever been.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at the census. On his watch, they went to almost like 112 people away from being the third biggest city in the state where they were the first on his watch. All right, we got about 2 minutes. Tim, what's your question, bud?
I'm going to go with an international approach to this, if that's okay. Yesterday, Dr. Anthony Fauci was skirted out in front of the media there at the White House press briefing. Karine Jean-Pierre lost it on the reporter pool as they were asking the questions of COVID's origin. My question to you guys is, do we really, as a country, want to know the origin of COVID-19? Because I would make the argument that if we found out a nefarious act spread this across the globe, that would require some sort of response that maybe right now we do not want to find ourselves in, given our current supply chain weakness, given our current military, where the status is with them not being as strong as they've been under a previous administration. Do we really want to know the origin of COVID-19? Do we really want that question answered?
Freaking right we do. And I'll say, not only do we want to know, but I think if we found out that this was an intentional act on the part of the Chinese government, that we would see the entire world rally around whatever response we felt was necessary, whether it be massive sanctions or, for that matter, even, you know, military action, which I hesitate to say it that way. But nonetheless, I don't think anybody in the world would hesitate to not get behind the UN. And for all its liberalness, the UN could not stand idly by and say, well, you know, they didn't mean to.
Would it be the start of World War III?
I don't know about that, but I think it would certainly be the start of a whole new day, and the Chinese would literally be on their heels because they would recognize they've been caught in something that no one can abide by. Jeff?
Yeah, we'd have to launch some Tomahawk missiles at the Wuhan laboratory or whatever. I don't see any other way around it. Look at the death toll. And there's, you know, unless I don't think you could sanction these guys. You have to destroy the threat of biological warfare to the world. That's just global security. Would I want World War III? No, but I don't see any other way around it. We have to know what happened here. We can't afford to ever have this happen again.
All right, about 30 seconds there, Tim. Your own response to your own question. What you think?
Oh, I think, you know, from the journalist side of things, yes, we obviously want the answers. But I think that there are plenty of people who are completely fine with being left in the dark on this, not ever knowing the true origin of COVID-19. So that way we don't see the ramifications of what comes next. I think they're ready to move on and move forward. And my own personal opinion is, of course, we need to know. But I do worry about with who's currently at the helm of this ship in the country, what the response would look like.
Well, I think of the current administration, yes. But I think another administration would see this as leverage. And we'll see. All right, fellas, round one complete. We got to run to a break. Stand by. We'll be right back. So, yeah, folks, Right Side Radio here with the Grand Council. My brethren, Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News, and Tim Melton, host of News and Views on Talk 99.5 in Birmingham. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Making it cool to be a conservative. Back with the Grand Council. This week's Grand Council is Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down in the coastal regions of our state, and also the executive editor at 1819 News. And we got Tim Melton, host of News and Views on Talk 99.5 there in the Birmingham area. So we kind of span the whole state. Round two. Jeff, your question, bud. What you got?
Earlier this week, Governor Ivey announcing her a moratorium, I guess, the halt of execution attempts after two failed executions, ordering a quote-unquote top-to-bottom review and saying that she's asking the Alabama Department of Corrections essentially to investigate itself. How much confidence do you have in an agency that has not given itself, given the state of our prisons and Eighth Amendment violations and everything else, how much confidence do you have in the ADOC to get the job done here?
Well, you baited that question pretty hard. So, I'll be honest with you. I don't know why it's so hard to kill somebody. Why do we make this so hard? I will say this. You know, I fuss about Governor Ivey. She had to do this. She had to stop and say, stop what you're doing. Figure this out. Because we cannot be seen as the constant laughingstock of the world, because we've had, what, two, three attempts at executions that have just gone badly because we couldn't make it work. I don't have a great deal of confidence. They need to have an outside audit come in and do this. It needs to be somebody independent who reviews the processes and procedures. Tim, your thoughts?
murderers shouldn't have an easier time murdering their victims than we do murdering murderers when we have the murderers in our custody. It's that simple.
Wow.
And you're right. It shouldn't be this difficult. And there are plenty of humane and quick ways to get the job done. And the victims and their families deserve that. Swift justice.
Jeff, do we ever want Dale to come back? I mean, I'm just saying.
No, we never want Dale to come back.
I think Dale may have just lost his spot on the Grand Council. Your own question, Jeff. What you think?
Well, by the way, I'm watching my Twitter timeline, and Dale's out there tweeting, but he had to skip this week. We need an investigation on that.
Saying.
By the way, but no, why is this governor? She's never had a problem appointing like a blue ribbon commission or somebody to do an investigation. I have no faith in the ADOC. There's prisoners getting beat up. There's drugs getting smuggled into every prison in the state. There's all kinds of bad things. This is an inept agency, and they can't not put anybody to death. I don't want them investigating themselves. I want somebody that knows what the heck they're doing to come in and get the situation right. This is an embarrassment.
There you go. All right, my question's a whole lot easier, and since we got a short amount of time, I'll just run with it. Auburn, Carnell Williams, Lane Kiffin. Is Carnell Williams the hype or the hero? What do you think? Jeff, you're an Auburn fan like me. What do you think?
Yeah, and I went to the Auburn-Texas A&M game. I'd never seen the Auburn. I mean, I've probably been to 100 Auburn games. I went to school there, played in a band. I never seen the Auburn fan base react this way to a coach. Especially in a season like this, I think if you want butts in the seats, I think Carnell Williams is a good bet. I don't know if he's proven or not. I think he's got to win on Saturday. However, I'm told the offer's already out there, and we're waiting until the Egg Bowl's over for Kiffin to take it.
That's what I heard. Tim, what do you think, bud?
You can't let short-term love that you have for Cadillac derail the future of your program. Potentially, you got to bring in a big name, you got to spend the money. Cadillac is a great story, but he's not the best fit for coach, even if he wins this Iron Bowl. How many Iron Bowls did Gus Malzahn end up winning, and how many extensions were signed, and do you think that they ended up paying off? No, they paid him to go coach elsewhere. So I don't like the move of Cadillac being promoted, even if he wins on Saturday.
They may still be paying Malzahn to coach elsewhere. I'm not sure.
I just don't think Kiffin's a big enough name, though. If it's a name like Saban, then that's one thing, but Kiffin to me is he's mid-major Ole Miss, which is always the Auburn way to go.
All right, we got about a minute and a half. Tim, you got a last question for us, a quick one?
All right, here we go. Does Ron DeSantis deserve more credit for the shakeup at Disney? Disney firing their CEO in Bob Chapek. DeSantis sort of led the charge of that company being on the wrong side of history when it comes to the way it's supposed to be entertaining children instead of indoctrinating them. Does Ron DeSantis deserve more credit for not only what he's done in Florida, but what he's done to Disney?
I think he emasculated Disney, no pun intended. I think it was purely because he was willing to stand up against one of the most powerful forces in his state's politics that we are now seeing a change out in CEO. Jeff?
Yeah, and I think Iger, they all like to talk a big woke game, but you're not supposed to actually do this stuff. And that, you know, you can pretend and put on a good face, but you're not supposed to actually do it to where it impacts your stock price.
Don't do that.
Back to Iger.
Yeah, well, we'll see what Iger does. But your own question, Tim, in 10 seconds, what do you think?
Here we go, 10 seconds. I don't even need the full 10. Here we go, DeSantis 2024. That's all I'll say.
All right. That pretty much encapsulates all of it. All right, fellas. From the nether regions of our state, FM Talk 106.5, and also with the executive editor for 1819 News, Jeff Poor, Tim Melton, sitting in today. We appreciate you greatly. Talk 99.5 down there in Birmingham. That's the Grand Council, folks. Good stuff. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.